Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. For physician owners of an independent practice, real estate might be an aspect of ownership that takes a backseat in your mind until some unforeseen difficulty arises or major market fluctuation occurs. As today's guest, Colin Carr, CEO of Carr Healthcare Realty, emphasizes, real estate puts a ton on the line for physician practice owners at all times. While he says corrections or disruptions in the market are a great time to be paying attention to buying or selling office space, you might want to increase your attention spent on this critical element of your profitability. We began our discussion by addressing trends in the healthcare real estate marketplace in early 2021.
So when people are asking questions right now about where's the market at, what do things look like, there's a couple ways to address the market as a whole. And we got to start by saying, are we talking about residential real estate, commercial real estate? Are we talking just about healthcare or how other areas of the market, retail or office, are going to affect healthcare? Mm-hmm. And let me give a quick overview across the board because I think it's relevant and people like to know. When it comes to residential real estate, it's not slowing down in the vast majority of markets. And when it comes to new home construction for single family or multifamily, it is all-time highs across the board in almost every major market in the country. If you have new homes being built, that is an indicator the economy is still very, very strong. In Denver, where I am, they're putting up new houses faster than they ever have before. They beat almost every number last year that had for the last several decades. And so even though you see a disruption in the market with COVID and you're seeing some businesses go out of business, you're seeing some companies downsize, if you are seeing single family houses continue to get built at a very rapid rate, that is an indicator that the foundation of the market is very, very strong. And that's important when we're talking about where's the healthcare market. When it comes to commercial real estate, industrial distribution is not slowing down. People are still buying things at an all-time rate. When it comes to retail, restaurants, retailers, you are seeing a lot of those people get hurt right now. You're seeing a lot of them that were not able to open or only see a limited capacity or service a limited number of people. Retail, a lot of retailers are struggling. When it comes to office, you're seeing a lot of large companies right now that are reevaluating their real estate strategy and saying, we don't need to be in three floors of this high rise. We don't need to have 10 locations. We could probably have four or whatever. You know, we need to have an office space, but we can maybe do 5,000 square feet versus 20,000 feet. And we're going to have people work from home 3-4 days a week because it's worked well and they're still being efficient. So I think we're going to see a correction coming in the commercial real estate world where I think you're going to see a lot more vacancy in retail. You're going to see a lot more vacancy in office. But when it comes to healthcare and medical real estate, it's staying very strong. And I don't think you're going to see very, very much of a dip when it comes to medical and healthcare real estate. And the reason being is because they're not going to go out of business. You will see practices struggle and practices have struggled, but they always find a way to persevere and make it through the challenge. If you're if you're in a business where you're an investor in a restaurant, it doesn't work, you shut it down and then you start something different. If you are a physician or a healthcare provider and you went to school for 8 or 12 years or what have you, and you've invested your entire life into it, mm-hmm. you're not going to call it a day and go start a landscape company. Like, you're going to find a way to persevere and make it happen. And so as a whole, the healthcare medical real estate market is still strong. It's going to stay strong. And a lot of landlords that have healthcare providers are savvy enough and smart enough to realize they're going to find a way to make a deal. Mm-hmm. And so that is the silver lining. That is the good news, is that landlords are going to find a way to either get a little bit more aggressive on lease rate, give a higher amount of concessions for tenant improvement allowance to renovate a space or build it out. They're going to give larger free rent packages to incentivize people to move into their building or to renew their lease. And they're going to find ways to keep their buildings full and keep people coming to their properties because they know that healthcare providers are some of the most desirable tenants you can have. And so you're going to find landlords in the healthcare industry, and we're already seeing this, that are doing their job to get new deals made, keep spaces full, keep healthcare providers in their properties, and they're not going to suffer the way that a lot of retailers are and a lot of large off users are.
I was also curious to find out about some of the niche effects that the pandemic may have had on the market or other aspects of healthcare real estate.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really, really positive things too. For instance, interest rates right now are at all-time lows. Like, we've never seen rates the way we are now. On top of that, the government just unleashed a new SBA program where they're willing to pay the SBA loan fee. They're willing to actually make your payments for 6 months, not defer them, but actually make them. And we're seeing concessions like that we've never seen before. That's allowing healthcare providers and businesses that are able to capitalize right now the ability to purchase real estate, to purchase a nicer building than maybe they would have qualified for before, larger, et cetera. And that's opening up a lot of opportunities for healthcare providers to own real estate. And we are finding a good number of sellers right now that are a little nervous or nervous enough that they're willing to sell a property maybe they weren't willing to sell prior to COVID. They don't want to get stuck holding a property or having more vacancy or having to re-tenant that space. And so we're finding a lot of landlords right now that are willing to sell buildings that weren't willing to sell before. So that kind of perfect storm of more motivated landlords, more motivated sellers, and then interest rates where they're at, there's an interesting way for healthcare providers to capitalize in that aspect of the market right now.
Another area of concern for practices that rent their space is lease renewals. Up next, Colin discusses how physicians and practice owners can ensure their best leverage when approaching landlords.
Lease renewals, there's a huge opportunity there as well. Okay. Now, and I'm going to preface it by saying, if you just approach a landlord saying, hey, it's COVID, give me a better deal, I want to stay, you're not going to get a better deal, right?
Okay.
It doesn't work that way. It's like showing up to a used car dealership saying, I've got $40,000 to spend and I need to buy that car right there and I have to leave with that car. What's the price of that car? Like, oh, it's your lucky day. It's $40,000. You got to have a strategy for how you do this. And there's got to be a specific approach for when you talk to a landlord. But here's the reality. Here's the spoiler alert is landlords don't want vacancy right now. And landlords never want vacancy. But even more so right now, they don't want a vacancy. When it comes to a lease renewal for a healthcare provider, mm-hmm. regardless of whether that property is owned by an individual, you know, ma and pa that own one property, professional landlord or publicly traded REIT, you know, that owns the property, nobody wants vacancy, especially right now. Because of that, they will get more aggressive on a lease renewal if they have the fear of losing you. That's the key right there. If there's no fear of them losing you, there's no deal. All right. Again, and just think about this one. If you're a landlord and you make a living or you supplement your living by owning real estate, what is your motivation to reduce a lease rate and lose tens of thousands of dollars per year, hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 10-year period? Like, there's no motivation for that unless the contrast is, or I get a vacant space and then I get nothing for 12 months or 18 months, what have you. The key is you have to have a strategy, have an approach, have a posture, know what you're doing, know what your other options are. And then when a landlord realizes that they can't just stuff you into a deal or that you'll take whatever they give you, that you actually have other viable options, that you're willing to go at those other options, that's when you can find yourselves in a place where you can get better terms today than you could prior to COVID. That's a win. But the problem is most people just say, oh, it's COVID, so I'm going to get a better deal. Like, just because it's COVID, you know, you're not going to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks for less than you were before. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. You don't walk into Chipotle and they're not selling burritos at half off because of COVID. You know, when it comes to real estate, if you just go out a landlord because of COVID and think you're going to get a better deal, that's not happening. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to have an approach to make it happen. If you have a lease that's coming up for expiration in the next 12 to 24 months, you want to start that process right now. You don't want to start too far in advance. There's a window that's too far out there to where you're wasting your time because you're locked into a lease for too long and you can't get out of it. There's also, on the other side of that, you can start too late. And if your lease is expiring in 3 or 4 months, you don't have enough time to make a move successfully without incurring additional costs and having a holdover take place with your current lease. So if you're 12 to 24 months out, you should be talking to a professional that can help advise you and run that process for your real estate strategy.
When making real estate purchases for your practice, Colin says there are some common mistakes that physicians and practice owners should be trying to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, in any industry, in any professional can tell you, I can give you, you know, steps 1 through 10 of what not to do. I mean, I remember I've been in commercial real estate now for almost 20 years. I can tell you what does not work. I can tell you if you want to waste a lot of time and energy or get inferior results to do this, we've come up with the same thing when it comes to what not to do as a healthcare provider, because we work with thousands of healthcare providers with their real estate across the country. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a handful of them right now. Number one, and we just talked about it, starting the transaction at the wrong time frame. You approach your landlord when you've got 1 month left on it and you want to negotiate a lease renewal, they know for a fact you don't know what you're doing and that you're not going to move. They're not going to give you a better deal. You're going to overpay. It's going to cost you tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you try to call a landlord yourself and have a negotiation directly where you're talking to the landlord, they know that you're not serious. They know that you don't know what you're doing. They know that you're educated. They know that you're very intelligent. They know clinically you're probably a master at what you do, but they know that you don't have a clue what you're doing when it comes to commercial real estate. Mm. Again, going back to it, you know, Chipotle, Starbucks, Charles Schwab, Merrill Lynch, Lockheed Martin, those people hire professionals that all they do is represent their interests because there's too much on the line. Yeah. When a landlord gets a call from Mr. or Mrs. Doctor, and the landlord knows that they've maybe done one or two deals in their entire career, they're not a market expert, they know for a fact that person's not serious. If they were serious, they'd have representation that would be helping them evaluate all their options, determined not to leave even a dollar on the table. So that's a big one. Doctors doing the do-it-yourself mentality. Again, can you get a deal done yourself? Sure, absolutely. Can you drive around and call on properties and put the phone number into the phone and push call? Like, absolutely. You can find a way to get a deal done. Will it cost you a lot of money? Yeah, it's going to cost you probably six figures. So that's a big one. Another big mistake that doctors make is when they just talk to their colleagues or peers. They say, hey, well, what did you get or what are you paying in this building? And the problem with that is they're measuring their upcoming transaction against a non-successful transaction. Well, this doctor's paying $30 a square foot, so that must be a fair rate. Well, that doctor is overpaying by $3 a square foot, and they didn't get the $40,000 in tenant improvement allowance they should have, and they didn't get the $20,000 in free rent, and they got 4% annual increases instead of 3, and they didn't negotiate these business terms that would help them sell their practice and be able to get out of the lease when they do, and you just keep going on. So if you're measuring yourself against something that's totally average or below average, you know, that you're going to get below average results. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, hey, you know, what are you measuring against? Are you measuring against a 4 minute mile or are you measuring against a 15 minute mile? Like, it's, what are we measuring against? So that's a big one too. Asking your colleague or peer what they paid. Another one is talking to a landlord or a seller without having any idea what options are available to you. If you're in a lease renewal scenario and you start trying to negotiate your lease renewal, and yet you don't have the market figured out of what other landlords or sellers are willing to offer you, you're just bartering. It's literally whatever number they give you, you reduce it and think that you're making an impact. That's not how you negotiate. It's not just, again, the used car lot, like cars for sale for 40. Well, would you give it to me for 38? Like, well, what if it's really 32? You know, yeah. I mean, or what if it is 40 and you ask them for 32, then you look like an idiot because you're over negotiating based upon the fact that you don't know what you're doing, and that can hurt you too. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll give you one more in light of that. When people don't have market information, and then when they over negotiate, they lose even more credibility. Mm. I mean, again, it's, if something was $30 a square foot and you submit an offer at 20, you look like an idiot because you're so far from what a real transaction is going to end up at, that the landlords and the brokers lose respect for you. They just say, man, who is this clown showing up asking for something that's, it's so ridiculous. Like, it's like a patient showing up, hey, what's this procedure cost? Well, it costs $12,000. Well, would you do it for $3,000? And the doctor's like, no, what are you talking about? Well, you know, someone else will do it for $3,000. Like, dude, good luck on that one. And hopefully they let you fly back to the United States when it's all said and done. Like, it's not how it works. So over negotiating can be a great way to lose a lot of respect and have the landlord treat you even worse. They'll just say, like, I'm not going to do anything for you. I would have done this for you, but because you're so out of touch with the market and what you just asked for was so egregious, I'm not going to even give you a fair response. A fair deal gets a fair response. A fair offer gets a fair response. An overly aggressive or a disrespectful offer gets you a disrespectful response. And a lot of doctors make that mistake. They'll say, well, you don't know if you don't ask. And that is not the case whatsoever.
If you happen to be ready to make a real estate transaction, the next consideration is timing.
If you're looking at buying a building, you really want to time it with your lease. When's your lease expiring? You want to try to find a timeline so that you're not stuck in a lease for 5 years, paying a lease payment and a mortgage payment. If you're looking at doing a new office and starting up or doing an additional location, you can move forward as fast as you want to, because the sooner you get open, the sooner you're seeing patients, and that's great. If you're talking about selling a practice and you have to deal with the real estate, the best advice I can give you is hire an expert to look at your lease and tell you if you have the option of terminating that lease, getting out of that lease. If you sell your practice, can we assign the lease to the buyer of the practice and get you removed from the lease? You don't have to necessarily wait till the lease is expiring to get off the lease if you have a proper assignability or sublease clause in there. And so what I'd say is you can look at the lease yourself if you're a doctor. You can hire an attorney to look at it and advise you, but you need to have somebody involved from a real estate perspective who can help guide you in that process, because there also could be the ability for you to get out of the lease or have the new buyer do a new lease with the landlord and get your lease terminated. There's a lot of options of what you can do if the landlord understands they're going to get a new 5 or 10 year deal with the new buyer.
And in closing, Colin offers some key takeaways and advice for physicians and practice owners.
Yeah, the key takeaway would be treat real estate with the respect that it's due. When it comes to healthcare, you can do a lot of damage by not paying attention, by neglecting symptoms, neglecting issues, not wanting to take the time to go see someone. And then you can end up with this domino effect of, man, we could have prevented this or avoided this or addressed this so much more easily if we would have handled it with the right time, with the right approach. And you can get to a place where you can just avoid the issue because you think it's more convenient. You can end up in a really challenging place. So my advice is treat real estate with the respect it's due. Realize that the difference between a properly or poorly negotiated deal can either benefit you or cost you literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 10-year period. And if you've got that much on the line, hire professional representation, let them advise you, let them take care of you in that area. And if you approach real estate with a posture, with a strategy, with knowing the market, with having someone to go between you and the landlord to absorb that conflict, it's going to make your life easier. You're going to have less stress. You're going to save 30 to 40 hours of your time. And it's probably going to profit you financially, again, tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Thanks again for taking the time to speak with me, Colin. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.